Coming up on Harvard Chan This Week in Health, what's the link between Zika virus and microcephaly? New research is showing how the disease may affect pregnant women and their babies. Plus, the toll of mental illness, why experts say it's drastically underestimated. And should scientists be able to tinker with the genes of unborn babies? In a new poll, Americans are weighing in on the rapidly growing field of gene editing. Hello and welcome to Harvard Chan This Week in Health. I'm Noah Levitt.
And I'm Amy Monomiro.
Topping our news this week, Amy, researchers say the burden of mental illness around the world is drastically underestimated.
That's according to a new study from research at the Harvard Chan School and King's College, London.
Researchers say that mental illness accounts for 32% of all disability worldwide. Previous estimates put that figure at 21%. The authors of this study argue that mental illness has been wrongly measured and categorized in the past. For example, researchers say that chronic pain syndromes have not been attributed to mental illness in the past, even though those conditions are common in patients who may be struggling with mood, anxiety, or stress disorders.
We spoke about the research with the study's lead author, Daniel Vigo, Centennial Fellow in Harvard Chan's Doctor of Public Health Program and a psychiatrist. He says this underestimation is compounded by stigma surrounding mental illness. This results in disproportionately low funding for mental health care, which in turn affects services delivered to those with mental illness.
This is not a zero-sum game in terms of taking from one disease and giving to mental illness. If the services for illnesses are thought of differently going forward, meaning that integrated care is provided at the primary care level, then we improve outcomes for all the illnesses that are included. And that can be achieved both through primary care physicians, but also through community workers, because most of the mental health-related outcomes can be improved not only through medication or specialized psychotherapy, but through community integration measures that allow for a community to better integrate people who have these conditions.
Earlier this year, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force recommended that primary care doctors screen anyone over the age of 12 for depression.
Now we want to take a closer look at some new research into the link between Zika virus and the birth defect microcephaly. As the outbreak has spread to more than 24 countries, researchers are still trying to identify a clear link between Zika and that birth defect.
It hasn't been found yet, but the CDC is now confirming that it identified Zika virus in the tissue of two babies in Brazil who died from microcephaly. This comes amid a new report from StatNews that the virus was also found in the placentas of two women who miscarried after contracting the virus while traveling.
Now, meanwhile, scientists in Slovenia say they found the virus in the brain tissue of a fetus with microcephaly. According to research published in the New England Journal of Medicine, that baby had been carried by a 25-year-old European woman who had symptoms of Zika during the 13th week of her pregnancy.
Eric Rubin, the Irene Heinz Given Professor of Immunology and Infectious Diseases at the Harvard Chan School, wrote an editorial accompanying the study. He says that this research does not provide definitive proof of a link between Zika and microcephaly. It is an important step, but he says many questions about the virus still remain.
I think it's really just the starting point. From here on, we have to figure out things that are going to be important to the women who are affected and their children. For example, most diseases are asymptomatic. Women who have asymptomatic infection, are their children at risk? When is that risk? Does it matter if you get virus at the beginning of your pregnancy, the middle of your pregnancy, or the end of your pregnancy? We don't even know that right now. We cannot easily tell if someone has been infected with Zika virus in the past. We have one very good test for whether or not they have an active infection right at that moment. So if we had that, we would be able to answer some of the questions I raised before, like, for example, what is the real risk to a woman? Are all fetuses affected, or is it only a small percentage? Right now, we can't say that.
This week, President Obama pledged $1.8 billion to fight the virus. The request to Congress includes $500 million in foreign aid to countries being hit hardest by Zika. Additional funding would be used to develop better diagnostic tests to identify the disease and money to help develop a vaccine.
Amy, President Obama also outlined his new budget this week, and it earmarks funding for several major health initiatives. That includes $1.5 billion to address opioid abuse and another $500 million aimed at expanding treatment for mental illness. The budget also includes a proposal to change the way doctors and hospitals are paid. The White House says that plan could save $180 billion over the next decade.
A special investigator in Michigan says officials in Flint could face manslaughter charges over that city's lead-tainted water. According to the Associated Press, a special investigator from the state attorney general's office says that criminal charges could be filed if it's found that the Flint officials were, quote, grossly negligent.
And Amy, while Flint is in the national spotlight, concerns over lead pipes are not limited to that city. Congress banned lead pipes more than 30 years ago, but government officials tell the New York Times that between 3.3 million and 10 million lead pipes are still in use. Now, officials do stress that most of the country's 53,000 community water systems are safe, but say that the Flint crisis is a reminder of the need to not only remove lead pipes, but also improve testing that will detect dangerous chemicals in tap water. The number of Americans without health insurance continues to drop.
Noah, the CDC reports that in the first 9 months of 2015, just over 9% of people lacked coverage. That means that there are 16 million fewer uninsured people than in 2013.
And there's also been a big drop in the percentage of children without insurance, down from 14% in 1997 to 4.5% last year. Finally, this episode, gene editing is one of the fastest growing and one of the most fascinating medical technologies today.
Noah, using a technique called CRISPR, scientists have been able to modify and essentially repair genes in mice, offering potentially new ways to treat a number of diseases.
But how should the technology be used? Well, according to a poll conducted by the Harvard Chan School in Stat News, Americans want the technology used carefully.
The survey found that people are strongly opposed to editing the genes of unborn babies, expressing the strongest disapproval for so-called designer babies with enhanced features. But there does appear to be support for the broader use of gene therapy, for example, researching how it can be used to treat diseases in children or adults.
Amy, we spoke about the results with Bob Blunden, the Richard L. Menschel Professor of Public Health and Professor of Health Policy and Political Analysis at the Harvard Chan School. He says there's a big difference between promising research and the actual application of the new technology.
In terms of the research on developing gene therapies, I think we're going to see the equivalent of a space race of great deal of investment in ways that we could develop treatments which have genetic basis for people who are adults. But the controversy, and still exists in the U.S., is should we allow to go beyond research to try to modify the genetic background of unborn children? The debate about the future is there may be other countries that just go ahead and do it while the U.S. is very cautious. But the real issue is it is not feasible in the U.S. at the moment legally to alter the genetic makeup of children. And the public doesn't support providing a legal framework for that to happen.
Despite opposition in some areas, the poll found that many Americans are in favor of government funding for more research. And as you can imagine, there are a lot of strong opinions on this. People are sharing them on our Facebook page. So if you want to join in, go to facebook.com/Harvard Public Health and share your opinion on gene editing, designer babies, gene therapy.
I know what I'll be doing over lunch, Noah.
I expect to see you weighing in.
Well, that's all for Harvard Chan This Week in Health. I'm Amy Montemuro.
And I'm Noah Levitt. You can listen to this podcast anytime by visiting our SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/Harvard Public Health. Or visit hsph.me/thisweekinhealth to learn how you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher.